coming up on Path to Zero.
I think it's going to be easier to achieve that complete combustion with propane than it is with the wood. In one respect, you're not going to have to use as much of it.
Welcome to Path to Zero, the podcast about clean energy and the journey toward a low-carbon future. Your host is Tucker Perkins, engineer, entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, and clean energy industry veteran, who now serves as president and CEO of the Propane Education and Research Council. Now, here's Tucker.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Path to Zero. I'm really excited about today's conversation because we're going to focus on a subject that's been in the news a lot recently. With the pandemic and cool weather months, real interest is happening around patio heaters, whether it's in your backyard or in your neighborhood restaurant. The National Restaurant Association did a survey that found 50%, half of the full service restaurants took some kind of action to extend outdoor dining by using patio heaters. That has a lot of people wondering about the impact on the environment. And today we have just the expert to explore this question and then take a look at the chemistry of carbon related to patio heaters. You might say Nelson Briner burns things for a living. He leads the fire research division at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST. Mr. Briner has published dozens of papers and reports on important subjects like fire protection technologies for both buildings and communities and firefighters in an effort to enhance disaster resilience as well as protect firefighters. Recently, he's been the focus of media attention by comparing the environmental impact of different outdoor heating sources, particularly in response to a story in the Washington Post. Nelson, welcome to the Path to Zero. Thank you for talking to us today.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm very happy to be here today.
Well, let's start by giving our listeners an overview of what goes on at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And I'll refer to that as NIST from here out. But talk to me about what that division in particular that you work, fire research, what do you do?
Well, the broad overview of NIST is we date back to about 1901. We're an agency of the federal government. We're one of the oldest physical science laboratories. Our particular specialty is measurement science for the federal government, industry, and the public as well. So if you're wondering where the standard kilogram, the standard liter, even the standard foot or standard gallon, for instance, we're the keepers of those. And so we maintain those standards for industry in the United States. From smart electric power grids, electronic health records, to atomic clocks, advanced nanomaterials, computer chips, many products rely on, in some way, on measurement science. And that's what NIST provides. That is the standards and technology in the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Our measurement science supports everything. Nano devices where you can have 10,000 of them on a single hair, up to earthquake resistant skyscrapers and global networks. So in a nutshell, NIST is the federal government's measurement science resource. Now, as part of NIST, I work in the engineering laboratory, and the engineering laboratory takes that measurement science down another scale, and it uses it to improve engineered systems, buildings, commercial, residential. We also get involved in bridges, tunnels, and occasionally a pipeline. In terms of going down to my particular division, which is the fire research division, again, we take that measurement science. We use that along with prediction, and we integrate it with other experimental data to understand the dynamics of fire and the interaction of fire and the built and natural environment. So our goal in the fire research division is basically to improve fire safety engineering, firefighting, fire investigation, and fire testing in the United States.
What an interesting place to work and what an interesting job you have. When you were a child thinking about what you were going to be when you grow up, did you ever say, I think I want to be able to study and burn things for a living?
I don't think I consciously thought, well, I'd like to burn things for a living, but I would have to confess we don't seem to have any trouble finding people to light that initial spark.
So I know you're a chemical engineer. How did you come from your days at the University of Maryland chemical engineering? How did you evolve to this job?
Well, you're correct. I graduated from the University of Maryland, College Park, just down the road from NIST. But I actually had the opportunity to do my graduate work at NIST. And at the time, the stipend I could receive at NIST was at least twice what I could get at the University of Maryland as a research associate. And all those years of calculus were able to help me determine that it was a better job to go to NIST than it was to hang out at the University of Maryland. I did my graduate work and I enjoyed it so much. I found the environment and the culture of NIST to be such that it was like I did not have a reason to leave. And actually, I never did.
Yeah, what an interesting career, what an interesting place. Well, you've certainly been quoted a lot recently in the paper as we really talked about COVID-19 and the pandemic and dining and people really needing to move outdoors. And as winter came upon us, really we saw it all through Europe, Canada, and now of course all through the US, thinking about a new way to dine outdoors, which was going to involve some kind of an outdoor heater. I know we kind of bumped into you with this Washington Post story that was prompted by a question that a Post editor themselves wrote. And they said, I'm looking for a way to stay warm during COVID-safe outdoor dinings this winter. In terms of greenhouse gas emissions, is it better to use a fire pit or a propane-fueled patio heater? So before we really get to the answer to that question, what factors did you look into when you started to think about how to compare the environmental impact of a propane heater versus a fire pit?
Well, the first part that comes to my mind as a fire researcher is the energy content of various fuels. And if we're talking about hydrocarbon fuels, and propane is an example of a hydrocarbon fuel, and the cellulose and the lignin in wood are also examples of hydrocarbon fuels. And the energy is actually tied up in the carbon-to-carbon bonds for the most part. And in reality, a carbon-to-carbon bond in propane is the same essential carbon-to-carbon bond as in wood. And so for each particular molecular bond, it doesn't really matter whether you're burning propane or whether you're burning wood. You get the same amount of energy if you're able to completely combust the fuel. So by complete combustion, what I mean is you take a hydrocarbon fuel and you add oxygen. And if there is sufficient oxygen for complete combustion, your products will be carbon dioxide and water. And you squeezed out all the energy that you can out of that particular chemical reaction. However, if you don't have enough oxygen, you may not combust that fuel completely. And some people interpret this as efficiency. So if you're unable to combust that fuel completely, you may end up with carbon monoxide. You may end up with soot. You can end up with other organic compounds. And these are just, sort of combustion that you didn't take advantage of, okay? And so typically when you use propane as a fuel and you have lots of oxygen, you get much more complete combustion, okay? So you end up with mostly carbon dioxide and water vapor, and that's it. When you use wood, it's more difficult to get all that oxygen into the reaction zone and complete that combustion all the way through. If there's an orange color in your wood fire pit, that orange color in the flame itself is caused by the heating of soot. So when I look at a typical propane flame, I don't see a lot of orange color. So there's probably not a lot of soot there. That's another indication that I'm probably getting a more complete combustion with propane than I am with wood. So some of that soot from a wood fire fueled fire pit is escaping. And that's energy that I was not able to make use of. And so, we sort of have to appreciate that if you're going to use wood as a fuel, you're less likely to get complete combustion. Okay. If you're using propane, you're more likely to get complete combustion. Now, part of it is tied up with the amount of air that you can get into the wood-fueled fire pit at any given time. Part of it is propane is a gas, and most of your chemical reactions that occur during combustion occur in the gas phase. Wood is a solid. So the first thing that has to happen if you're burning fuel as a wood is you have to convert it to gas, to a gas phase, so that those reactions can occur. And so you can still extract the same amount of energy, but it's a little more difficult, okay? It's sort of the difference between burning, a match that's made out of wood and a two-by-four. It's easier to get the match burning than it is the two-by-four. So generally speaking, it's a little bit harder to get that complete combustion if you're burning wood. But that's not the only aspect here. We have to keep in mind that wood comes from trees, and we can always plant more trees. So in one respect, it's a little bit more sustainable, okay? Propane, I think most propane these days actually comes sort of from as a byproduct of, the natural gas process. So it would be classified as a fossil fuel, all right? At some point we may have limitations as to how much fossil fuel we have. On the other hand, I think eventually there's a possibility that we may develop the technology to produce propane out of bio-type fuels. And in one way, it might actually also be sustainable. But it's far easier right now with our current technology to plant trees than it is to convert biofuels into propane. So, it's sort of right now, if you're going to use wood in your fire pit, you're probably not going to have as complete a combustion. You're still going to be producing per molecule. If you break one carbon bond, you're going to get one molecule of carbon dioxide. Doesn't matter whether it's propane or wood, okay? But because of the limited ventilation conditions that you often see with a sort of a wood fueled system, you're going to be producing some soot. You're going to be producing some other products of incomplete combustion. So it's a little less efficient. So there's sort of pluses and minuses to either one, I think.
And what is the difference between soot, carbon, and then I hear other people refer to as black carbon? Are there any difference in those three things?
Technically, there are differences. And it depends upon how you're using the terms. Soot, which is generally sort of, that black material, can actually be essentially pure carbon. And that's usually what you're referring to when you say carbon black, for instance. But It can be elemental carbon, or it can be what we refer to as organic carbon. And there are very subtle differences there, which really doesn't necessarily tell you very much. It's not useful for many things in this life. Smoke detectors see carbon, whether it's elemental carbon or whether it's organic carbon.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about patio heaters and the environment.
Zero is a big number. Getting close to a future of zero emissions starts with using the broadest mix of clean, low-carbon energy sources. You might be surprised to know that propane produces a lot of energy for thousands of purposes and millions of people with virtually zero particulate matter, zero impact to the ozone, zero toxicity, and zero potential for storage-related contamination. It's low NOx and low CO2 to boot. Path to Zero is sponsored by Propane, Clean American Energy. Learn more at cleanamericanenergy.us.
We're talking with Nelson Briner, who leads the Fire Research Division of the National Institute of Standards and Technology. So if we go back to the original question that really was asked by the writer of the post, is it better to use a fire pit or a propane-fueled patio heater when the metric is around greenhouse gas emissions? I think you've pretty clearly answered that because you can control the combustion a little bit better. I mean, for all the reasons you mentioned, really certainly the greenhouse gas emissions of a propane-fueled patio heater at the source, it's quite a bit cleaner.
Again, I think it's going to be easier to achieve that complete combustion with propane than it is with the wood, which means that you're going to, since you're squeezing every last bit of energy out of the propane, in one respect, you're not going to have to use as much of it, because with the wood, it's a little less efficient and you aren't getting quite all the energy out of it. But again, in terms of greenhouse gases, it doesn't matter whether the carbon dioxide comes from the wood or comes from the propane. It's the same carbon dioxide. So you have to balance the fact that you're going to probably get more complete combustion of the propane than you are with a wood-fueled fire pit. But again, it's probably at this particular time easier to plant new trees and sustain your wood supply than it is for the fossil, for propane if it's derived from fossil fuels.
I mentioned when I was introducing you that you've published, at least I think the records, we had 72 papers. You may have published more by now, but you've published at least 72 papers and reports. And I know you're doing important work to reduce the risk of fire in buildings and really around communities. Anything that you're working on or that you've done that you're particularly proud of to share with our listeners?
Of my past activities, I think I would probably be proudest of the work I've done on behalf of firefighters. Firefighters have a lot of personal protective equipment, and the development of personal protective equipment was not exactly even. So the turnout gear, the pants, the coat, with new materials, new fabrics, probably moved a little bit faster in protecting the firefighters than some of the, like their self-contained breathing apparatus lens and things like that. And so the protection afforded by the new turnout gear allowed the firefighters to perhaps be a little bit more able to get in deeper into the fire. And there was some situations where the lens of their SCBA was melting. And we worked with the National Fire Protection Association and various fire service organizations to get in there, understand it, and we developed a new standard. And I believe that caused all the lenses in all SCBAs in the United States to be replaced with something that provided them with a bit more protection. So I was very honored to be part of that particular work. NIST also has the capability of reconstructing fires. We tend to only reconstruct the fires where they're very involved and very difficult to understand what happened. They tend to be multiple fatality type fires. So it was my organization that participated in the reconstruction of the World Trade Center fires. I worked in the Rhode Island nightclub fire where we lost 100 civilians. We don't lose 100 civilians in a structure fire, but about once every 50, 60 years. So we needed to understand why that fire spread so quickly. I was also fortunate to work on the Charleston Sofa Superstore fire, where we lost multiple firefighters. And at that particular point, we really didn't understand what had happened, how the fire had managed to get that many firefighters. And so we typically, when we reconstruct one of these events, we visit the scene multiple times. We collect a lot of data, a lot of photographs. We do a lot of technical discussions with the people involved. And then we run a model simulation. And we run the model simulation and we tweak it a little bit until the fire appears where it was observed at the times it was observed. And then you can go back and you can play what if. What if the fire department hadn't broken out these windows? What if they'd broken out more windows and things like that? And I think that provides the fire service with a lot of training, a lot more understanding of what's going on.
What a fascinating career. And I would say, I would thank you on behalf of not only firefighters, but also all of us that are homeowners and benefit from your work. Look, we really are glad that you've been with us today. We normally thank our guests by planting a tree in a forest of their choosing. I know you're not in a position to do that as a federal employee, but we're going to go ahead and find a beautiful place somewhere in those Catoctin Mountains, I think, and we'll find a place and we'll put a tree there. We'll put it in our name, but we'll do it because we are so appreciative of your time today. And I just want to thank you for being with us and for all the good work you do for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity of having to discuss benefits of propane fire pits and wood fire pits.
For everyone listening, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll see you next time on the Path to Zero.
This has been Path to Zero with Tucker Perkins. Subscribe and learn more at cleanamericanenergy.us. And if you like what you have heard, rate us on whatever platform you use to listen to your podcasts.